Drop the beat.
Welcome back to another episode of In the Folk. I hope everybody's had a splendid weekend. I see Mike. Welcome to
Mike. I think you were having a whole conversation with yourself before the show.
We started at 6:33, Mike. Come on now. No, we appreciate it, bud.
Yeah.
But it's been a crazy week in headlines, it looks like. Tully, before I even started researching, Tully's like, don't worry about it, dude. I've got it. And I'm looking at a shitload of stuff in front of me. So I don't even know where we're going to start tonight. Where do you want to start?
It's a lot. I think in the lot of – hey, Landa. In lot of Mike's comment about would you want to transfer your consciousness to a robot – do you want to watch that, the Her video?
Sure. Absolutely. Now this is, Mike, that's actually interesting you brought that up. Because if you've ever watched the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, it's where he falls in love with an artificial intelligence. Well, just so happens, this is a future PDAO on TikTok. If you want to give him a try. I might need to reshare this, actually, because I don't think I shared it with Sound. But, so, the world is getting to a crazy place. We all know it is. And
it's becoming scary.
It is becoming scary. So, let's go ahead and play this little ditty for this fella.
Still can't hear audio.
Well...
is it turned on, the video?
I don't know.
You may have to make it small again.
That's what she said. here we go. Yeah, the audio is off. Sorry about that, folks.
Her is here, and that's not an exaggeration. OpenAI's new voice model that you can interact with is insane. This is the demo that I think best encapsulates it. Just listen to these emotions and reactions. Honestly, it's weird.
I'm going to be interviewing at OpenAI. Have you heard of them?
OpenAI? Huh? Sounds vaguely familiar. Kidding, of course. That's incredible, Rocky. What kind of interview?
Well, oh, my God. Pause it.
But pause it. You need to know, do I look...
I mean, listen at that, dude. Like, imagine your phone is, like, cracking jokes with you and stuff. If you've ever seen the movie Her, it's literally... the exact same concept. It's just not Scarlett Johansson talking.
Presentable, professional.
Well, Rocky, you definitely have the I've been coding all night look down, which could actually work in your favor. Maybe just run a hand through your hair or lean into the mad genius vibe. Your enthusiasm is what's really going to shine through.
I don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to throw this on. What do you think?
Oh, Rocky, that's quite a statement piece.
Female there is a robot. That's literally the new ChatGPT model. That is not fake, y'all. We are one step away from like all of the dystopian robot movies that you've ever seen.
It's insane, dude. Like, okay, transferring our consciousness to a robot body is one thing, but transferring AI to a robot body is a completely different thing. Well, like,
we covered this last week. I mean, think about this. You've got Apple's new iRobot. So they build the Android, and then you have this kind of interface in it.
I don't
look at Landa's comment. That's exactly what imagine having an artificial intelligence in your phone that just cracks jokes and talks to you like a regular person.
And I don't want to like degrade people that make things like this by saying anything like derogatory or anything, but the majority of them are males and they're nerds, let's be honest. And the only, like, when they're creating these women voices and things like this, and when they start putting them in robots, they're all going to be like, oh God, you're so silly. Like, you know, just like Valley Girls. Like, listen,
next year or the year after this keeps going, somebody's going to marry one of these robots. There's not a doubt in my mind, because it's like you said, not, no offense to anybody, but they're definitely pandering to a certain kind of people.
Yeah.
Also in the AI front that we brought to the table tonight, I don't know if you heard, but Coca-Cola signed a $1.1 billion with a B deal to use Microsoft AI services.
What for? What even for?
Well, so they're going to be using their cloud computing and AI services, and under the agreement, Microsoft and Coke will jointly experiment with Azure OpenAI on us. The service uses technology from the Microsoft-backed startup and ChatGPT creator OpenAI to let they're going to build chatbots, it says, and other AI services. Basically, I mean, they could use it for anything. They could use it to tool their marketing. And with what you just heard, like, you know, the voice models and stuff, imagine like proactive ad campaigns, interactive ad campaigns in the coming years, where, you know, you get it like an interactive ad, basically.
I fully understand like the capabilities of AI that can make the world better, but the hands that these things always end up in never leads toward that. It's always used for some kind of nefarious reasons. Like, I don't know. And this whole robot right here reminds me of that movie AI with Haley Joel Osment in it, whenever all the sex workers were robots. Like, I don't know.
We're one step away from all of that. Like, yeah. I mean, it's here. Like, you see these factories in China and everywhere else where they have the androids with human faces but robot bodies. All it's going to take is to get this new interface into one of those robots, and you've got a full-blown, I mean, deadly close to a robot.
Yeah, but on the lighter side, I mean, I guess everybody's
Yeah, everybody will be loved for sure.
It really seems like it's a self-created reset, like, because they're going to come out with this stuff. It's going to be easier than dating. It's going to be easier than having to go out and do anything. And the population control is going to be really initiated when people are just screwing robots.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Like, and it's going to get to a point where, you know, the population is going to dwindle. I worry about the future.
when they come out with it, imagine like the company that comes out with it, and they're like, well, yeah, you can go out on Hinge and Bumble and Tinder and Grindr, or you could let us tailor the perfect significant other for you that complements everything about your personality. It's Black Mirror.
Yeah, I love how you know all those apps too, like Ralph Topper. You know, I didn't even know what half of those were.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've never ever used any of that, but I think even the thought of using those apps is kind of dystopian to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But that's
our AI section. Yeah.
That's the AI for the day.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a Friday show if we didn't tell you how it's going with Boeing this week, y'all.
How is it going with Boeing?
So, not good. Boeing jet was forced this week to make an emergency landing after engine explodes. So a Boeing plane carrying almost 500 people was forced to make a landing in Indonesia after the engine suddenly caught fire after takeoff. The jet was taken off from the Indonesian city of Makassar en route to Saudi Arabia, with many passengers when the drama actually unfolded, it was 5:15 on Wednesday. Footage on social media showed the 747 basically engulfed in flames. And I sent a picture, if you want to pull that up.
I don't have the picture anymore. Where'd you send it to?
It's an attachment on the email.
Oh.
But anyway, I'll finish reading if you can pull it up. That's good. If not, that's fine too. The decision was made by the pilot in command immediately after takeoff, considering engine problems that required further examination, you know, after it was up in flames. If Cecil gets the picture pulled up, it's hilarious. And yeah, so that's how it's going with Boeing this week.
I mean, that don't look too dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine you're the pilot and you're looking out and you're like, you know, I think that might, we may need to turn around.
I mean, this part and this part looks fine. Yeah. It's really just this little section right here that gives me a little concern.
Yeah. So even more, you know, Boeing craziness this week. And we're going to keep bringing it as long as it's going on. And I'm sure when the trials and stuff get started, you know, even more things will be going on with the whistleblowers there.
That's intense. Look at that. That's
yeah. Like nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. That's insane. I mean.
Well, when we first started covering it, if you remember, I was like, dude, things have been going on constantly with Boeing, and it's flying under the radar, a lot of it. But since we did our first piece, I mean, it's every week we've got something happening to one of Boeing's planes.
I mean, maybe it's been going on this whole time. I mean, it is coming from around the world, but it
didn't. Right, Stephen.
I don't know, man. It looks nuts. That's crazy. I don't want to fly ever because of that. So that's good. So look, what do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about the cicadas?
That works.
So just last year, the news was calling a push to eat bugs. You know, if you remember that, they were like, maybe everybody should get the protein from some bugs.
That also was a big conspiracy theory. There's tons of articles last year that came out. It's like, no, nobody's saying to eat the bugs.
Bull. It was news articles. Well, Jenny Mitchell, the program director, the program coordinator at Iowa State University's Insect Zoo, told the news two regional broods of cicadas are emerging simultaneously for the first time in 221 years in parts of southern Iowa, Central Illinois. Trillions of them are expected across 16 states over the next few weeks. Some cicadas are already appearing in the southern states, but the Midwest is expected to peak in a few weeks. Mitchell, who eats bugs like ants and crickets regularly, plans to snack on cicadas for the first time this year and will collect them during a trip to Illinois next month. And considers air frying them to make us and making a special sauce. I suggest that you use Cane's chicken because it's fucking delicious. My question with this is, isn't it projected that a majority of these cicadas are already infected with some kind of disease? Like
probably. It just blew my mind, dude. There was another article. The New York Times ran it. And before we get too far in, I do want to say that everything that we're saying is completely satire when it comes to names of people and places. It's all just a big coincidence. Nothing we say is true. Just like South Park. But the New York Times came out and said that they are the noisy lobsters of the trees.
Noisy lobsters of the trees.
And even though it is a big hoax and conspiracy theory, this adds also to what happened last year. Tyson Foods, who we're going to talk about here in a few minutes in more detail, one of the world's largest companies, has reached an agreement for a twofold investment in Protix, which is the leading global insect ingredient company. The strategic investment will support the growth of emerging insect ingredient industries and expand the use of insect ingredient solutions to create more efficient, sustainable proteins and lipids for use in the global food system.
And I made this is a good part, good point, right? Let's go ahead and drop this one.
We should probably put that back in the intro at some point. You showed it. That's good enough.
We're Wearing a whole is not should not be viewed as a news source. Any information discussed is purely speculative and should not be viewed as an allegation.
It's tripling.
There we go. That's okay. How I got edited.
So all that said, I wanted to put in here what to look for on your labels. So Tyson controls brands like Hillshire, Sara Lee, Jimmy Dean, Ballpark, Gallo, Pierre, State Fair, Original Philly, and Steakies. So crickets could be labeled as Acada domesticus or grillodes, like grill O-D-E-S sigitalis. Mealworms could be labeled as Tenebrio molitor. Grasshoppers could be labeled as Locusta migratura. And it's pretty smart when you think about it, like how they're going to end up labeling it. It's not going to say that there's bugs in your food. It's just going to list these ingredients, and there's already so many ingredients in all of your food that you can't pronounce. The everyday person may not notice that that even goes in.
Yeah. Sorry if you thought our word was gospel, Landa. We only pull this from legitimate news sources and relate it to you.
Yeah. We have to say that. Like, we have to say, you know, we have to say it's satire like South Park so that people don't come for us.
Come for me, motherfuckers.
But anyway, no. But yeah, the bugs, they want you to eat them. It's coming to Tyson brands at least probably in the next year or two.
And that runs straight into this next report of Tyson Food, what they've recently done, right?
Yeah, the Tyson's on a roll.
They are.
So Tyson Food dumped, per a new report, they dumped 87 billion gallons of toxic waste, including cyanide, blood, and feces into U.S. rivers and lakes, enough to fill 132,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
When I seen this, totally, it reminded me of that Tyson's food plant right before you get to your house.
There is, and it's close to a river.
Yeah.
So this happened... 41 factories of theirs into rivers and lakes between the test period, which was 2018 and 2022, scientists were only able to count discharges from a third of their factories. Think about that. So this is only from a third of Tyson's factories, 87 billion gallons of toxic waste. The sheer scale of the poison flowing into the country's rivers and waterways is starting to emerge after they did this test. It was contaminated with cancer-causing cyanide, nitrates, chloride, phosphorus, and oil directly from 41 plants across 17 states. And the toxic water could cover 165 square miles from each one of these sites.
Yeah. You know, I worked in a food processing factory once for like 2 or 3 months, and it smelled like, you know, muffins and stuff like that. Places like Tyson's and Kellogg, especially up there where you live. When I drove by Kellogg's one time, I wanted to find a turd and shove it in my nose so something would smell better.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing? What are they making? What processing?
Yeah.
It's insane. Well,
and a huge problem about this, like, you think about like the FDA and the government's priorities. I mean, for anybody listening, did you hear this week? Like, if people should be screaming from the heavens about this, like they're putting forever chemicals in our water. Mm-hmm. And nobody, I mean, they may get hit with a penalty at some point, but that's cost of operation to them. They're a $1 billion company, multi-billion dollar.
Yeah, it'd be a smack on the hand.
Yeah.
Like, you owe us $200 million.
Yeah. When in reality, if scientists and people crack the code and figure out that you've dumped that much toxic waste into our environment, people should be held accountable. Like, the overseers should be held accountable, and the company shouldn't be a company anymore.
But like we've seen with everything else, somebody's going to be the fall guy. They're going to get replaced by somebody that was a fall guy for another company, and then they're going to go to another company. It's just a big repetitive bunch of crap. I hate it.
But we can hit on something light for a minute. We've been pretty heavy for the first half. So something that we wanted to bring this week is that there is footage that may prove that the Tasmanian tiger is still alive. And apparently there's multiple footages this week because in Stephen's home state, there was also a thylacine sighting in Arkansas.
The video you sent me is 55 minutes long on this, by the way.
Was it really?
Yeah, so I don't know if we're going to be able to use that.
Well, we don't have to. But if you go on, you know, YouTube or, you know, really the internet in general, there have been sightings in Tasmania as well as America of the thylacine just within the last few months. And, you know, over the last few years, it's a Tasmanian tiger, Stephen, or not Stephen, Mike is asking that. There have been over 3,500 sightings logged just in the last couple of years of the Tasmanian tiger still being around. So I've got a lot of faith that this thing is still out there.
Right, there's the picture that this video holds. I mean, if you look at it, it's really grainy, of course. It's probably a trail cam or something like that outside, and like
it's the stripes on the back though that are really convincing people that it's still around.
And if you look at it, it doesn't look like a dog, and that's because they were marsupials or whatever a kangaroo is.
Yeah, so, there's a restored video that you can find on YouTube of the last Tasmanian tiger in captivity, and it looks just like that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always been speculation, even for ever since that video came out. I remember in the 90s, like seeing like footage caught of them running in the wild and stuff. And it's not unheard of for extinct animals to not actually be extinct.
Right.
It really isn't. So, I mean, that's really cool. I like the idea of like things that's went extinct coming back. I seen a video the other day of somebody that caught dodo bird on a trail cam. I'd love to see one of those.
It's kind of far-fetched. I get that animals do go extinct, but I do, when it comes to like things like dodo birds where they were kind of hunted to extinction.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes some of those things can survive in remote places where humans haven't been.
Yeah.
Mike said there was a bioengineering company that's been recreating Tasmanian tigers.
I believe it.
Yeah.
If a cat in Montana can clone sheep, just like huge sheep that nobody knows about for years, except he's got a fucking sign. Saying, sheep. Yeah, I believe anything at this point. Like, I don't know. It's all crazy.
So I'll scroll back to one of the things that we said we were going to talk about today. So the Vatican prepared guidelines for apparitions and other supernatural phenomenon, like, I don't know, really anything, like aliens, any of it. A meeting was held today, this morning, on supernatural phenomenon or communication with divine beings such as saints, angels, or Christ himself. And, you know, it was supposed to also touch on things like interdimensional beings. But today's update was kind of a letdown. Like, they hopped this up all week that there was going to be some groundbreaking thing that the Vatican was going to come out with for the first time since 1978. They did update the guidelines, though. So today's update is that they tightened up its guidance on recognizing any of the supernatural phenomenon, such as apparitions of the Virgin Mary and blood-soaked crucifixes. The new guidelines, like I said, replace rules from 1978 that say that bishops should no longer act independently over such things, but instead consult the Vatican. The changes made by the Vatican's doctrinal office aim to bring the church up to date in responding to the swift spread of claims of apparitions online.
Have you ever watched the movie 13 Ghosts?
Yeah.
This puts me in mind of the guy that was like in charge of Catcher and all the ghosts. Like, they're like, from now on, you guys don't handle it by yourself. You call us, and they're going to go get all these ghosts and create some kind of like massive machine at the Vatican or something. Well, and power it with ghosts.
I mean, you already know the Vatican hoards up all the sort of magic items from history. Like all the fabled things are in the Vatican's library. It doesn't surprise me. What surprises me, I guess, is like what changed from 1978 to now? Like what kind of groundbreaking stuff are they finding? You know what I mean?
I feel like it's probably where everything's so widespread and everything's on the internet now that they're probably trying to get ahead of it. Like suppress it essentially. I don't know why a good Christian person would want to suppress like apparitions and things like that, because that kind of proves an afterlife. But maybe it's a situation where that doesn't prove the afterlife that you're pushing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something like that.
I don't know what to think about it. Like to me, it gives the same vibes as when the government came out during COVID and said that non-human biologics were flying UFOs.
That's true.
nonchalantly dropped that.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that situation too. Like, it's untelling what's going on, but there's always been shady shit happening.
And that wouldn't surprise me, Mike. They do have a lot of relics of the past. They had, I think it was the sword of the Durandal sword, maybe. Maybe I'm mistaking that, but a lot of relics of the past the Vatican holds, and nobody's allowed to see them, including texts.
Yeah. I mean, the Vatican and the Smithsonian might as well be tied at the hip. They've got things that we probably couldn't even imagine just chilling in a storage room somewhere.
And it wouldn't be a Friday show if we didn't we totally missed this. Like, I don't know when we fired back up, but you know, this happened back in February. We found it this week. Yeah. And we really just wanted to underline how much the government cares about giving or letting China have your data. Because they seem to care a lot right now, right?
Oh yeah.
So 23andMe 23andMe sells all DNA assets to Chinese government in $10 billion deal. Did you hear about that in Congress? No. I never heard any representatives talking about that. So it was originally reported back in February. And apparently there have been data concerns in the past, but 23andMe, which is everybody knows what that is. It's a genomics and biotechnology company. They announced the sale of the DNA database to, you know, Chinese held companies that are connected to the government for $10 billion. The deal marks a significant milestone in international genetic research collaboration, allowing the Chinese government to access genetic information of millions of individuals, probably billions of individuals at this point, worldwide. The sale has sent shockwaves through the biotech industry, with some hailing it as groundbreaking. Others expressing concerns about the implications for privacy and data security. The deal is expected to have far-reaching consequences for the field of genetics and biotechnology. which I mean, it's not a big surprise. They literally have labs here in the United States. They own land here in the, they're a big landowner in the United States, believe it or not. It's just funny to me that, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, China this and China that. And then, you know, this kind of stuff just goes completely under the radar.
They have so much, like, they're so well involved within the United States that there's areas in, like, places like New York that have, they have their own police department.
Yeah, that was just came out a couple of months ago.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're buying up farmland. They're buying up coal companies and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they have. I forget what number they may. They may be like the fifth largest farmland owner in America.
Yeah, right. And we all know who number one is.
It's like Spider-Man pointing at each other. It's like that meme. But yeah,
I don't think they bought the land. I think they just kind of were given the land, because the way that this, our national debt is insane. We give so much money out to bail other countries out, but when we need a little bit of cash, it's all, you know, interest to death. And then even one of our biggest things that we owe money to is ourselves. That'd be like me loaning myself $10, be like, hey, motherfucker, for every day you don't pay me, I'm adding 25 cents to that. And then in 2 months, I'm like, you owe me $100 to myself, and I won't have it to pay myself.
Yeah, all that is, all that stuff's toilet paper math. The reason I wanted to throw that in here, though, is to really underline the fact that if you are watching, like, the talking heads on TV, I know we're talking heads on TV too, but if you're watching the other talking heads on TV, you have to realize at some point, like, how many of these atrocities like this and all the other things that we've talked about that are sort of doom and gloom, how many of those does it take to make somebody realize that nobody has your best interest? Like, nobody that's sitting in those seats of power has your best interest. And it's terrible to say, but the sooner everybody realizes it, the sooner maybe there can be a change.
No joke.
Anyway, I'll get off the soapbox.
I mean, I don't want to say everybody in these higher seats, because, you know, I can't really say, like, locally it doesn't happen, because we come from a town where it did.
Oh, yeah. They threw everybody in our hometown, all of our politicians, in prison for 20 years.
But, you know, there are some people that sit in local seats and probably even state seats that, you know, have well intentions. But once you get to that federal level, I just don't see it being anything but nefarious.
That's why, you know, I'm kind of a doomer at this point when it comes to all that. Like, I absolutely, like, people get into the argument about, you know, left and right, and, you know, both hands are pulling money out of your pocket and making everybody poor and sick. So I don't know. I can't really get into the sport of politics.
I have a theory about what happened to our hometown and why everybody was arrested, is because the money stopped there. It wasn't trickled up.
No, that's true. Yeah. They weren't padding the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But to get off our government.
Fuck them.
Yeah. They don't care about you. That's your takeaway. There was a mysterious unknown structure discovered this week near the Giza pyramids.
That was crazy. I've heard, go ahead and tell it.
It's crazy to me that they keep finding new stuff. Like, you know, how many LIDARs and everything else have they taken to Egypt, especially around the Great Pyramids? But this was published on May 14th. A significant breakthrough in archaeological research may have been just achieved in Egypt this week. Mm-hmm. Discovery of a mysterious structure buried beneath the sands near the iconic Great Pyramid of Giza may change the way we perceive these ancient structures. The remarkable find, detailed in a report, from the collaborative team at Egypt's National Research Institute. And I guess Japan was there too. The Higashi Nippon International University and Tohoku University were exploring all this. But situated approximately 1.5 to 6.5 feet beneath the surface of the Western Cemetery adjacent to the Great Pyramid, the structure takes on an unconventional L shape spanning approximately 33 by 49 feet. And the structure is not like the Great Pyramids that tower above the landscape. It's entirely filled with sand, suggesting that it may have been intentionally buried after its construction. The intrigue deepens further as the team uncovered a perplexing anomaly beneath the structure. Lying at a depth ranging from 16 to 33 feet, it's described as highly electrically resistive anomalous structure. I don't know how else to say that.
What I've heard from it was that it's basically putting off a huge electrical charge.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
So that kind of confirms what us insane, crazy conspiracy people have been saying for a long time, that the pyramids were basically a generator. And the reason, the being filled with sand, though, I feel like when they first found the pyramids, because the, only a little portion of them were sticking out of the sand, I feel like they were full of sand. But what better way to suppress fires and, you know, keep electrical charge from shooting out of the ground than to cover it up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
there are still people that don't know how all the sand got into that area, because the Sahara Desert and that whole area used to be forest, and like the whole sand covering 30 feet of it is kind of anomalous in itself.
Yeah, so I mean 33 by 49 feet and it's probably 6.5 feet below the surface. That's a pretty massive void. And then beneath that, another 33 feet is where they found the electrical anomaly. Yeah. So there's definitely, to me, it sounds like there's probably like an underground station of some sort. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the station was whatever this electrical anomaly was, whether it be battery or some sort of generator.
It'd be so cool if they just come out with it, because that would confirm everything to do with like ancient, with ancient technology. Like at this point, it's no doubt that people back then were more advanced
and way more advanced than we give them credit for.
Yeah. Structure building and everything. Like, so electrical stuff, it's exciting. Like Mike said, a while back they felt like they found something like that under the Sphinx, it's probably just a whole power substation. Except the Sphinx is probably a lot older than the pyramids.
Yeah. Yeah. I recently was just kind of scrolling through, you know, I posted about the Eye of the Sahara recently, or the recat structure on the TikTok. There's still definitely stuff in Egypt that is anomalous. It's suspicious that you can't go to that structure. And that NASA really has the only access to it.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one though that I'm trying to find without having to. I lost it.
But going back to something earlier, Mike asked, would you want them to bring the saber-tooth tiger back? Mike, if they brought the saber-tooth tiger back, totally would pull up and I'd be sitting in my throne in the yard petting that motherfucker. I really want a saber-tooth tiger. That'd be fun.
That's funny.
You call me Pharaoh Fletcher.
hang on. Okay, the Osirion. I actually haven't posted this video yet. I'm working on a video for the TikTok about the Osirion, which is in Egypt. People don't know what it is. people just came up with the idea that maybe it was a temple for Osiris, and that's how it got the name Osirion. But this is the way that this temple is built. There's no mortar or any sort of bonding materials. It's built out of like smooth slabs. It's very peculiar, and there's a lot of mysteriousness. Mysteriousness. There's a lot of mystery around the structure. So I'll be posting that in the coming weeks. What do you got? I see you doing something.
Oh no, I'm just fucking around.
Well, I mean, we're almost at Tom if we want to start.
Yeah, we're at
Tom. Plugging.
I wish we could get through this whole list. There's so much interesting stuff.
We'll definitely have more next week. We want to get into, there's been a blob in Antarctica.
Yeah.
A massive blob on radar in Antarctica since like February. And we're trying to see if we can get an expert on to talk about it. If not, we're going to have a go at it. And then this is what, episode 94?
Today would be 95.
95. Are you sure? I don't know. Whatever today's episode is, we're going to be doing a big one for our 100th episode. Our 100th episode will be on a Saturday, just so it doesn't bump up against our other shows that we do. And we are going to go all out on the history of weather modification. It's going to be
95, but you labeled it as 94.
Okay, I can change it. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to do a massive episode on the history of weather modification, really since the 17, 1800s to present day. And it's going to be a long one. So, you know, that Saturday, we'll let you know ahead of time and you can strap in with us. It's going to probably be hour and a half, 2 hour show.
Yep. 100.
Wherever you're listening, if you don't already follow us or don't. We will be live on Weird Realities, Weird Awakenings in 20 minutes to talk about all the strangeness in California.
We're not talking Pelosi, baby.
We don't get into this kind of stuff on Weird Awakenings. It's more the esoteric and strange and paranormal and cryptids. If you enjoy stuff like that, you should come over to Weird Realities on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook to join the live. And we'll be there in T-minus 15-ish minutes.
Yep. Landon Mike will be there early that day. I'm sure he'll be there Friday night.
Yeah. Mike will be camping out for the weather modification video, but it's going to be a big one. It's going to be way, way, way longer than what we usually do.
I agree.
There's just a lot of history. There's a lot of weather modification history that, you know, people don't know about.
I agree, Mike. An hour is not long enough time to talk about the strangest in California. We're going to try it, though. So,
good.
Everybody, that's thank you for tuning in tonight. Like Tully said, go ahead and subscribe. It'll help us out a little bit. We'd appreciate it, but you don't have to. But come back every Friday at 7 o'clock. We'll be here. And thank you for watching us, because we are watching you.